Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. It is a good thing for us to be together as we continue our Lenten journey in this season where we pause to reflect, to meditate on, to confess our sinfulness and to rejoice in the depth of the love that God shows us. It is good to be together. It is good for us to have you who are with us live on the stream with us as well. It is always good for God's people to come together. We have Sunday school bags. We have Sunday school bags. So if you have children who are part of your life, whether they visit you at your house or they come running across your front lawn or something, we have Sunday school bags. Those bags have a lesson. They have a craft. They have lots of ways to reach into lives and remind people of how much God loves them. So we have Sunday school bags. Drive-in Holy Communion will continue this Thursday, March 25th. This is for many of you who are on the live stream or who may watch this eventually. If you have been staying away in order to stay healthy, first of all, I hope that you remain healthy, but second of all, I want you to know that you are still welcome at the Lord's table. Thursday mornings between 10 and noon, we people come, they park in the parking lot, we chat for a minute, and I bring them communion. And so if you are still waiting, if it's been a while since you have received our Lord's body and blood, please call Lynn at the office, make an appointment so that we can have you come and receive the goodness of our Lord. I'm kind of excited because last Tuesday, I got my first vaccine. If you've gotten your vaccines, yay. If you're getting your vaccines, yay. If you're still waiting because you're not quite old enough yet, first of all, congratulations, because that's kind of a good thing. But the other part is I hope that when it becomes available to you, you will take advantage. This Wednesday, March 24th, we will conclude our midweek Lenten services. The services begin at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary, and this year our theme has been, If You Are the Son of God, the Temptations of Jesus. So I hope that you will come and join us, whether you can come here and be with us, or you will join us live streamed or archived. This final week, it is the Temptation of Gethsemane, the Temptation of the Cross. Holy Week begins next Sunday, March 28th, with Palm Sunday / Passion Sunday. We will also have services at 7 p.m. on Maundy Thursday evening, April 1st. We will have two services, 1 o'clock in the afternoon and 7 o'clock in the evening on Good Friday. And then Easter celebrations will be held at 8:30 and 10:30 on April 4th. Please plan to join us for this Holy Week as we end our Lenten season and then begin our Easter celebrations. Also, as part of that, we want to invite you to care for just one soul that is known to you. Maybe there's someone that you used to sit by here in worship. Maybe there's someone that you are missing since the virus first showed up. Maybe you've met someone new and would like to bring them a little bit of joy. We have cards up front here and in the back there. We have cards. There are three crosses on them, one surrounded by a heart, and the simple message is, He is risen. You are free. You are invited to take one of those cards and send it to someone. Your message can be profound or simple, lots of words, or simply miss you. We also have printed Holy Week worship schedules that you could include if that's something you would want to do. We encourage you to reach out even to just one soul with the joy of Easter. There are lots of other announcements and information available in the bulletin, but we've gathered this morning to be in worship, to continue our Lenten journey together. So let us rise and begin our worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us continue our Lenten confession. We confess, have mercy on, O God, in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. Wash me more and more from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. My offenses, truly I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight I have done. Purify me, then shall I be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. From my sins, turn away your face and blot out all my guilt. A pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the good news of God's love. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And hear again of God's love. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. It is the love of God that saves us, and it is Jesus who sets us free. Amen. We join together now in our gathering song, Glorified.
It belongs to you. Let every kingdom bow. Let every ocean roar. Let every heart adore you now. Praise belongs to you. What can I do but sing? The greatest joy I've found is to lay the ground before my
with steadfast love, you draw us to yourself, and in mercy you receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that through life and death we may live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading on this fifth Sunday in Lent comes from Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading comes from the book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, You are my son. Today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we have been gathering together, as we have been spending our time in this season of Lent, we have been spending that time examining our sinfulness through our Lenten confessional. We have been asked to grapple with our shortcomings, to ponder our rebellion against God, and to discover all of the ways that we have been standing in the way of God's love. That can be a little disheartening when we do that. But at the same time, all the while we have been living this confession, we have been hearing about God's love for humanity shown in all of the covenants that God has made with us over time. God has loved creation and all humanity from the very beginning of creation. God looked out at all that he had created and he saw that it was good. In fact, very good. God has loved humanity even when we brought sin into the world. When our self-centeredness took the place of God's love, when we became rebels against God's love and God's will, God still loves us. When the flood came and Noah was on the ark, it was God's love that changed God's mind. And then God made a covenant with Noah. We read about it in that first week of Lent. God hanged his bow in the heavens and he promised to never destroy again. That was how much God loves us. And then when sin continued, When we continued to rebel against God, God made a promise with Abraham. God promised to be with us, to be our God, and to give Abraham a family and land, and the promise that the world would be blessed through that family. God started small, one man, one family. But God knew that through those small beginnings, the world would be changed. That's how much God loves us. And then as God's people came out of centuries of slavery, God gave them another covenant, teaching them how to live as a people together. God was still their God, but now they were a people together. God taught us that our lives are to be lived in love. Love for God and love for one another. God taught that if we lived that love, we would be blessed and we would be a blessing. That was how much God loves us. But you see, the problem is that our sin is so insidious that it takes all of those loving promises, all of those calls to live faithfully, all of those opportunities to live inspired by the love of God that is already touching our lives. It takes all of that wonderful stuff and makes them into if-then proposition. We humans hamstring ourselves into believing that God is making demands. Demands that we can never fulfill. And so we try to bargain for our salvation. We try to do whatever we can to look good for somebody. And it is because of that sinfulness perpetuating itself that God makes another promise to Jeremiah this morning. A new covenant. The old covenants of the past we broke. We stepped out on the source of all goodness and love so that we could crawl into the shadows and roll around in the dark. But God promises a new covenant written in our hearts. A new covenant that won't need teaching because everyone will be living it. This is the promise that we await, but it is also the promise that those Greek-speaking people in this morning's gospel, they thought that they had discovered that, because the new covenant is Jesus. This morning's gospel story happens after Jesus had triumphantly entered into Jerusalem. Later on in that week, Jesus was walking in the temple, and there were Greeks visiting. Now, were they Greek-speaking Jews, or were they Gentiles from Greek-speaking areas? Well, my good Lutheran answer is, of course, yes. They were both. They were people for whom Greek was the language that they knew best. And so they came to Philip, because Philip's name is Greek. And they asked Philip to see Jesus. This is evidence of that promise that Jesus made to Nicodemus last week coming true. God so loved the world, the entire world, even Gentiles and Greek speakers, even Romans and others. And as they came to see Jesus, Jesus knew then that his time was drawing short, and he knew that the greatest part of his mission was about to take place. So Jesus began to teach anew. He began to teach about death and dying and how dying was a means to greater life. There's a common quote that we've all read or heard that says, a coward dies many times, but a brave man dies but once. Jesus' teaching today is it's not about bravery or cowardice. It's about faith and the fact that we have to be willing to hate our life and be willing to die to that life every day. Now, I think that there might be a little bit of hyperbole in here, but it is really an accurate thought for the most part. We have to give up. We have to be willing to die to our self-absorption. We have to give up our selfish fascination that everything in the world really is all about us. Well, actually, it's all about me. We need to give up. We need to die to any quest to appear brave to the world around us, and instead we get to focus on love. You see, we give up our selfishness to serve others. We give up focusing on ourselves so that we can focus on the world around us, and more importantly, on the people in the world around us. We give up worrying about our survival, and we work so that more people can not only survive, but even thrive. We die to sin daily and rise to newness of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in this morning's gospel, Jesus shows us what the love of God can lead us to. Jesus prays. And he didn't pray to have to take away the pain that was to come. Jesus didn't pray to give him an opportunity to run away. Jesus saw the people all around him, his disciples, those who had followed him from the beginning, those who had just come to see him and learn from him, whether they were Jews or whether they were Greeks. Jesus saw them and he saw their need. He sees our need for salvation. Now, Jesus knows that we don't deserve that salvation, and he knows that we can't earn it. Jesus knows that we have messed up every other promise and covenant that God has ever made with us. And Jesus gives his life for us anyway. He promises that when he is lifted up, he will bring all people to himself. God loves the world. Jesus loves the world, all of it, even us. Jesus never thinks too highly of himself, and instead he loves and he cares for us and is willing to suffer for us. And that is what he is calling us to do as well. See, we live in a world where the covenants of the past can still teach us, but their power is fading. They are still true, but a new covenant, a covenant in the blood of Jesus, a covenant in the love of God now stands before us. Jesus commanded us very little, only that we love one another. And then he wrote that command in our hearts, and he died and rose again to save us from ourselves. In Jeremiah, God has promised to forgive our iniquity and remember our sin no more. God has promised for us forgiveness and life and salvation in all the gifts that Jesus gives. God has made us his own. And for all of that, we give thanks. For all of that, we commit our lives to celebrate the love of God while we bring that love of God to everyone we can every day. That is what we get to do. It's not that you've got to. You get to. And the world is a more and more beautiful place as we do. We who have destroyed all the promises and covenants that God has given, we who have been lost in our sin, we can now enter into a new covenant that is Jesus Christ our Lord. We can die to our sinful selves and set aside our sinful lives, and we can now rise to our new lives, washed clean by the blood of the Lamb so that we might love one another. Our friends and neighbors, our family and strangers, even enemies and the outcast. This is how much God loves us. And this is our calling. So may God give us the strength to live that. Amen. This morning, as we continue this season of Lent, we confess our faith using the words we find in the Nicene Creed. Please rise as we confess. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Relying on the promises of God, we pray boldly for the church, the world, and all in need. You wash us through and through and remember our sin no more. Make your church a community of forgiveness throughout the world. Give your people courage to forgive. Through them, show the world new possibilities. Bless ministries of repentance and reconciliation. Lord, in your mercy, you fill the earth from tiny grains of wheat to the mighty thunder with your very presence. And you call us to attend to your will for all creation. Grant weather that prepares the soil for seeds. Protect all from violent storms, flooding, and wildfires. Lord, in your mercy, you promise to write your law on our hearts. Guide citizens throughout the world to shape communities that reflect your mercy, justice, and peace. And give them creativity to work for the welfare of all. Lord, in your mercy, you sustain us with your bountiful spirit. Restore the joy of all who need to know your presence, those who are lonely or feel unforgivable, those who need healing of mind or body, those who are dying, and all who grieve. Lord, in your mercy. Jesus calls us to follow him in life and death. Empower this congregation in discipleship. Equip children and teachers in Sunday school, confirmation, and learning ministries. Give us your truth and wisdom, and teach us to follow Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, in the cross of Christ, your name is glorified. We praise you for those who have given us words to worship you. With all those who have died in Christ, bring us into everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy, we entrust ourselves and all our prayers to you, O faithful God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. Stay cool, stay dry, stay safe this day as you go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Ready yourself.